Amen. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. For 6 Sundays now, we have been following through the scriptures the trail of blood. We could only pick up the trail in the beginning of time. Genesis 3:15. And yet, it has been there when time was not. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's always been a cross in the heart of God. The gospel is not a new thing. It is the everlasting gospel. And hasn't it been most clear today in the reading of Scripture that this was not an afterthought with God, nor with His Son, Jesus Christ, that He definitely was on a mission, that He set His face like a flint, determined to go to Jerusalem. He could not be deterred from that. Even when loudmouth Simon Peter said, "You know what we ought to do? You ought to wipe them all out. That's what you ought to do." And he said, "I didn't come to destroy folks. I came to save folks." Ought not Christ to suffer? He would ask that question himself. He said this, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." How often have I told you here that this Bible is a hymn book? If you don't get that, you miss the key to scripture. I like it where the scripture said this morning that everyone disappeared and they saw Jesus only. That's where we're to be. That's where we are here as a church. We have a single-mindedness toward Christ. I hope that you are completely and sold out to this truth, that it is a singularity, a single-mindedness toward Christ is the reason for God blessing this place. We had 700 very wealthy people here this week. They could have bought the city of Pontiac. And yet here they sat in an inner city church, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ at 40 degrees. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If you and I could only get into this, we would be caught up in the wonder of it. That God Almighty has invaded history not to spy out your sins, but to deliver you from your sins. That He takes the initiative. I got a call yesterday from a person who goes to church, and this church had some problems. A young woman had committed adultery, and in the old church that I used to attend, you had to come forward and confess it. And then they had to have a motion and second to forgive. And she was telling me how this person came forward and confessed her sins and great humility, and the church voted to put her on probation. I said, "Well, I've seen that in court many times, but not in God's court." From the scripture reading this morning, it's clear that the God sacrifice was known and purposed from all eternity. This was the plan of God. Get beneath the fluff of present-day gospel preaching. Get down to the real core of it, and you will cry out too with the songwriter, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" And you will find when you get to that place that your hands go up in praise and adoration. Oh, what a wonder. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. I told you earlier that the point of emotion with me during the funeral was not simply because my friend was gone and the supporter of this work was gone, but because of the people that God brought here to hear the gospel. It was an amazing thing to see that. I had to laugh when all of those million-dollar cars were lined up outside. Here you are at the old saloon, used to be. Young'un was telling me that most expensive car, it probably cost that guy $30,000 to drive it in the snow because he had to clean the underneath it. I don't know about all of that. But I do know this, that this God is honoring this gospel of His grace and mercy in a powerful way. We know the Scripture to be the holy breathings of the Holy Spirit through men, pointing with an index finger to the Christ of Calvary, the God Himself being the sacrifice. Think about that. God Himself, Emmanuel, God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's awesome. God come down to earth, the Christ of God. Consider the great purpose of God, and that you did not accidentally get saved, but got saved on purpose. We've already seen Him as the true scapegoat, the true brazen serpent, the true paschal lamb. He who was the shadow of good things to come. The fulfillment of all the types and shadows in the Old Testament. And we, like the disciples, we lift up our eyes and we see no one but Jesus. That's all I want to see. I want to see Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. The cry of the congregation to the pastor ought always to be, let me tell you, if you're visiting with us and you go to a church and Jesus Christ is not preached and uplifted and glorified, you ought to stand up and say, "Sir, we would see Jesus today." Amen. Can we, with the Apostle Paul, say, "I am determined. I am determined to know nothing." Somebody's always telling me, "Don't you think you ought to preach this? And don't you think you ought to preach that? And don't you think you ought to, you know, have this and have that?" I'm sorry, that may be for somebody else, but that's not for me. Hey, I'm telling you, what we preach here is working pretty good. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And we ought to cry out with holy horror, "God forbid it! Don't let it happen that I preach anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You ought to come to church every Lord's Day not to get beat up, but to hear what a great Savior He is and what a great sinner you are. And so it took a great Savior to save great sinners. Do we have any great sinners here who've been saved by the great? Amen. Amen. Those of you who didn't raise your hand are in the wrong church. Are we not? We're not like the religious people. In fact, we say this. We count everything religious that we do or have done but dung. that we might win Christ. We throw it all overboard. My baptismal certificate. My church membership. I'm a Catholic, Methodist, Baptist. I'm Jewish. We throw it all overboard. We have a single-mindedness toward Jesus Christ. Are we not a people who have been chosen? Oh, you might not know quite yet the depth of it, but let me tell you this. If you're converted or going to be converted, it was because God elected you, chose you. There are no miscarriages with God. Do you think God actually made this big plan of coming to earth to invade history, to come down here and had this book written for the chance of you being saved? God is not a God of chance. Some of you had just played the lotto. I didn't get a call from anyone, so I've already figured out the tithe. We are a people chosen, redeemed. We've been redeemed. We've been bought. We've been sought out by Him. He sought you out. You were not seeking Christ. You were hiding in the bushes with your fig leaf aprons. When He came to you, I love the song. Oh, He came to me. He came to me when I would not come to Him. He came to me. Redeemed of the Lord, we're called sought out. And so He came to your Lodibar. He came to your mess. The songwriter said, oh, that with that yonder sacred throng, we at His feet may fall and bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. The songwriter said, crown Him with many crowns, the Lord upon His throne. Another songwriter wrote 1,000 stanzas. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. So here we are. We've been following this blood trail. We have now reached the fountainhead of this trail of blood, starting in the book of Genesis. Now we have reached the ultimate. The years of time have dragged by. And God did forbear. Sin rolled over and piled up year after year after year. Generation after generation. Himalayas of sin. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all liars. You can read that in Scripture. They're all cowards and liars. Noah got drunk. Lot wrestled with homosexuality. Mrs. Lot turned to a pillar of salt, and David committed adultery. Simon denied the Lord, and the rooster crowed. But God did not kill him. You know why? Because there was a Savior coming. And sin rolled over and rolled over and piled up because there was a I'm okay, I'm just getting happy. Can you imagine when He hung on the cross, David's looking over the banisters of heaven? Can you imagine what David must have felt when he said, it's finished, it's accomplished, it's done. The blood trail. The God-man shedding His blood. Here's the scapegoat. Here's the fit man who takes sin into a land of forgetfulness. That little lady that committed adultery in the church. They were going to put her on probation, but God had been her propitiation. Her sin had been paid for. This is He who crushes the serpent's head, the innocent one who has to be slain to give a righteous covering to the naked. Here's the ram caught in the thicket. Here's the Passover lamb that causes the death angel to pass over you. You remember the story in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel were going to leave Egyptian bondage, but it was going to take blood. And God said to them, before you go, you got to put up a lamb. And it has to be a male lamb, and it has to be a perfect lamb. It can't be just any old lamb. And it has to be watched for 14 days to make sure it's without any scabs or flaws. And then you take that lamb and take the blood. Now the flesh of that lamb had to go through the fire. Significant of wrath. But take the blood and strike it to the two sides of the door lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When the death angel comes, I'll pass over you. Index finger pointing to the coming of Christ. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the elect world. So I read to you where the soldier takes the spear and plunges it into his side. And forth comes water and blood. And I really never thought about that much until this week. And that passage came to my mind again when the blood came forth. All of this, the plan and purpose of God. Many did not see the significance of it then. But here's what it means, real quick. Here's what it means. Here's the significance of the blood flow. It means the remission of sins. It means the remission of sins. And I thought to myself again last night, to remit. I got so happy reading the dictionary last night. To remit means to release from the guilt. To release from the guilt or penalty. To refrain from exacting punishment. To cancel or refrain from inflicting punishment. You know why I'm not going to hell? Because my debt's been paid. God's not angry with me. I heard a preacher say we're going to go through, these could be the last times we're going to go through the great day of God's wrath. Not me. He's not angry with me. Why would he be angry with me? I have no sin. I have no sin debt. Oh, some of you don't get that, but. But Pastor, and I'll just say this for some of you who haven't quite entered into this. I know you're still a sinner, but you're a saved sinner. And God refuses to charge you with sin. How about this? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We have any failures in here? We have any relapses in here? We have any people in here that have been saved and messed up? We have a whole church full. I don't want you to carry around guilt. Jesus paid it all the debt you owe. Say, well, Pastor, it sounds like you're giving people just a license to relapse. You don't need a license. Everybody relapses without a license. I've said this for years. When you're about to relapse, you don't go out and say, I would like to pay right now for a permit to relapse. I'll tell you what the love of God that floods your heart. I'll tell you what love to Jesus Christ will do. It'll keep you from relapsing. That's right. What does it mean when this blood gushed from the side of Christ? It means redemption. It means the word redeem means to buy back. It means to liberate by payment. You know what Jesus Christ did on the tree of the cross? He walked into the slave market of sin. You and I were slaves to sin. How much is this slave on the slave block? Well, that's going to cost you your life, Jesus. I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes my life from me. You know, he bought you. Not just off of the slave market, but out of the market. You'll never be a slave again. You're free. My chains fell off. That's what it means. You say, well, I still have this compulsion. Yes, that's called your old flesh. And the Apostle Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Oh, wretched man that I am. That is this flesh. But isn't there a new you? Some of you been addicted to heroin or crack, or there are other addictions. Some of you here are addicted to church and religion. You need to be delivered from that too. But anyway, some of you have that addiction thing, and it just keeps haunting you. Tell you how to be free from that? Just know this. You're not a slave. You've been bought. Don't let heroin talk to you. Tell heroin to go to hell where it belongs. The devil uses those things. You're not what you're supposed to be. You're not a good mother. You're not a good father. You're not this. You're not that. And just keeps piling it on. How about this? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. To be redeemed. It means there's no condemnation. There is therefore now, no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Then there's no judgment for you. There's no condemnation for you. God is delivering you and setting you free. It means propitiation. Now we get a little weighty here because propitiation has a connotation of meaning to appease. The great question that's answered through the gospel is, how can God go down into the coal mine of sin and get hold of you and not get dirty? Because I guarantee you, everyone He gets hold of is dirty. How can God not get dirty? How can God take you to heaven? How can this God who is holy, 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 who is righteous, 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 take hold of you and not dirty Himself? He can't sweep your sin under the rug. He can't deny the fact that you are depraved, wretched, wormy sleazebag. He can't deny that because that's true of all of us. We are a mess. I mean, just between us girls, we're a mess. So how can God take me to heaven? Well, God found a way. God found a way to take you to heaven and not get Himself dirty. He's just and justifier. He is just and justifier. Let me say it again. He is just and justifier of the ungodly. There you are standing before Him, and He's a just God because He came into the world and died in your room, stead, and place. And so now He is able to bring down the hammer of His justice and say, not guilty today, not guilty tomorrow, not guilty next year, and not guilty forever. Not guilty. He rendered satisfaction. He made atonement. I've often talked about that holy box that was in the Holies of Holies. That box that was a gold box and it had a mercy seat on top of it with angelic beings looking down on that mercy seat. And the high priest came in once a year into the Holies of Holies, and they had to put a rope around his leg in case God killed him while he was in there. And that high priest came in with blood, and inside that box was the broken law of God that all of you broken. All of you Ten Commandment keepers are liars. You don't even have them memorized, much less keeping the Ten Commandments. And in the box is the broken law. Between the broken law, the covering of the box was called the mercy seat, and the high priest would go in once a year and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And appeasement. Well, I'm trying to. I am trying to preach. And of course, the people's sins were rolled over. And then Jesus came. He is the atonement. He is the mercy seat. He is the propitiation. He is the redeemer. He is the just and the justifier of the ungodly. Not only that, not only did he take all your sins away, but it gets gooder. Gooder and gooder. Not only that, but when he took all your filthy rags of unrighteousness off of you, now you're naked. He clothed you with a perfect righteousness. He imputed to you his own righteousness. Blessed is that man that God imputes righteousness to. On your side of the ledger is all good things. Because you have the very righteousness of Christ. And so when you stand before God, you stand before him without spot. I know, it just blows your mind, doesn't it? Without spot, because you're thinking about all your spots. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's your standing because of the blood. And God had all this plan for you and purpose for you. Don't fight it. Just lay back and enjoy it. And say, I am a blessed person. It means it's all finished. It's all accomplished. It's all done. I was telling the person that called me yesterday, and this person was talking about, I am so miserable. I am so miserable in church. I am just so miserable. That's what I said. Why do you stay? I'm not going to go somewhere where I'm miserable. I'm going to go somewhere where I can shout. I'm going to go somewhere where I can raise my hand. I'm going to go somewhere where I can smile. I already know about me. You see, I'm regenerated by the Spirit of God. So every evil way, every evil thought, every mess of myself, I was telling Miss Pam, maybe it was this morning, I am amazed that in spite of my mess every day, God blesses me. This week I was just thinking, why on earth would he do for me what he does? Why would he? Oh, I'll tell you why. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's unmerited favor. Now I want to say to you, I mean, I'm not through with this fount here today, but it is 8 minutes after 12. And I want to say this to you. When that blood flowed, what it meant was ultimate glorification. I'm going to be glorified. I saw a body of a man who was my friend this week, and I did not recognize that body. David Martigan weighed about 250 pounds, was a big, strapping, strong guy. That body that was in that casket was about 90 pounds and very, very dark. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also called, he justified, and the scripture says, and them he also glorified. You know what's going to happen one day? And we went out here to the cemetery. Things didn't go exactly right. They couldn't get the casket down in the ground. But I thought to myself, it doesn't make any difference. One of these days, things are going to blow up here in this cemetery. Jesus Christ is coming back again. There's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. And I just want to say to you, the chosen of God, say, well, Pastor, how do you know I'm chosen? Well, one reason you probably wouldn't be here if you were not. The other reason you wouldn't even ask the question if you were not. The other thing is you wouldn't have any spiritual desire if you didn't belong to God, because he's the one that gives it, right? You never want to come to Christ until he's already found you. Somebody said, I found Jesus. He wasn't lost. Jesus is not lost. He is a seeking Savior. He'll leave the 99 and go after that one that's wandered way out there in the mountains of sin and in the valleys of iniquity. And He will track them down. You are here today and have a hunger and thirst for Christ because you're on His shoulders. He's bringing you home. Oh, if I could only believe that, Pastor, if I could only... You can believe it. I'm telling you the truth. If there's a thirst for the water of life, if there's a hunger for the bread of life, God gave that to you. He quickened you. He's born you again. You know that by the time you find out you got saved, you've been saved a while. Yeah, He just reconciled you to that wonderful truth. I don't know what happened. I see some of you that are over at the center. You know, it used to be that the crack addict would come in the center and their lips would all be blistered, puffed up like that, because they'd break off my radio antenna and smoke crack in it and try to put tape around it and it'd still blister their lips. And you know, the world is so religious. I can remember people sitting in my office school. I mean, they'll have been in there for a little while going like that. I just want you to know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would say, you're full of something, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. You look like Christ will never give you blistered lips. He'll give you holy lips and a holy tongue to praise Him. But I have watched as those folks who came in with blistered lips and tongues and were caught up in addiction come over here and not like it maybe the first few times. And then something started happening. I'd meet them. I'd go in the big dorm. There was guys reading their Bible in the bunk. Ah. Amen. You got found. You don't read the Bible, you know, unless you're just pretending to be religious. Unless you just want me to see you reading the Bible. Kind of sucking up a little bit. But you know, even when you read the Bible to suck up, it's not too long until it rings true. You never were. It's when you persevere and continue. How many of you the Lord has saved since you came to Grace Center of Hope right here? Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Some of you have been saved out of religion. Somehow or another. I've thought this all week. You know, I've been in this 50 years now. The gospel is getting more exciting to me. I am caught up more in the wonder of it than years ago. It hasn't grown weary or old or dull. I'm still diving into it. And as I was preparing this message, I thought, okay, now you've got to the fount. Now you've followed the trail of blood to the cross. And you're going to speak today on that. Now you can just think about next Sunday. Where are you going to go? I mean, keep going. We'll go to the empty tomb eventually. We'll ascend up into heaven there and see Him sitting on a throne and see Him interceding. I mean, we're going there. But it's not over with the fount yet. I mean, we're going to come back next Sunday. And what happened at Calvary? You ought to keep digging in there. Pitch your tent on Mount Calvary. And just keep digging there and digging. You're going to find tremendous nuggets that are going to break your heart and cause you to praise God for loving a wretch like you. All right, let's stand together. Let's sing.